He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is a little bit quieter here on the Western Front in the market today. A little settling down after yesterday's big sell-off. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we still have the bond market pretty upset. But the stock market has settled down somewhat. The Dow is only down 57 today after almost a 400-point drop yesterday. It's down just 16 basis points. A lot of settling in the individual stocks that I've been looking at here so far today. The S&P is down 12. That's about a quarter of a percent after yesterday's sell-off. And the NASDAQ, which was down about 300 yesterday, is down 21 today, 15 basis points. It's back under 14,000. It's at 13,953. Small caps off 0.6%. Oil is back up again today. We had a big draining of the oil supply on the report yesterday. The crude oil supplies go down. Prices go up 53 cents today on oil at $80.02. Gold is down $3 today. The 10-year, there's where the problem is still. 4.18 today. Holy cow, 4.18. Up another 10 basis points. And Bitcoin down 185 to 29,193. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and it was quite a day in the market yesterday.
Kind of
we got blindsided. Is that a fair way to assess that? We got blindsided yesterday.
Yeah, and I was kind of looking back, and that's what I was, you know, kind of what, because there's a handful of data points. It was like, you know, what was really different yesterday? And even on the Fitch News, they, you know, you go back, and I guess in May or so, I believe they warned that they were looking at this. So, I mean,
right.
Someone, you know, it was on someone's radar, right? You know, who knows, that'd be a threat to try to get, some debt limit deal done, right, at that particular point in time. But it's just, you know, I think the biggest thing that was different is you've also got a bunch of issuance from Treasury where what they announced they're going to, you know, end up needing to issue up to $1 trillion instead of, you know, some 500 or 700 billion that they were deciding to. So they're selling more bonds into this rally, you know, I mean, into this, you know, heightened rates at the same time. So there's a lot of different layers to kind of pick apart. But
that, you know, instead of having one hand out for more money, they've got two hands out is what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
I read that the straw that probably broke the back for the Fitch downgrade was the surprise announcement on Monday of the Treasury's near-term borrowing needs. Hey, brother, can you spare a dime? And now it's like, can you spare $5, which were formalized yesterday in the refunding announcement, and it was much larger than they expected, and that put things over the top with the downgrade. But all in all, I don't think it has much effect on the market other than in the short term here, which obviously you saw the multiple shrink. We have to watch the bond market because that's what determines the multiple. Earnings have been just fine, it seems like. We'll see this Friday when we sum everything up. We've got two big ones tonight. But it's the multiple that got cut on the market yesterday, all in one fell swoop, right?
Right. And you got, you know, and it's also, you've got the Fed. I think we talked about it last week. The interesting piece that Powell said was that, you know, they have been reducing their balance sheet, which also means they're not only raising short-term rates, but they're also can sell, you know, other parts of the curve, which actually makes those rates go up so they can control different parts of the curve as they sell into it, or at certain points they may have to sell into something they don't want to. But that's another piece of it, as they're, you know, not only is the U.S. Treasury, you know, creating more bonds, but, you know, selling into the market. But at the same time, the Fed's balance sheet is massive, and they've been, you know, working to unwind that, and they're selling into the same market. So you've got a lot of supply, and obviously what happens with that when it outweighs demand is price goes down and yield is going up.
Yep, and we're at 4.18. We haven't seen that in a long time. To me, that's a little bit outside of the today would be a good day to look for some bond buys. If we got a little money to put to work in the bond portfolios, today would be a good day, because I think rates are going to fall back to the under four again fairly soon. So you get a little bit of capital appreciation on top of your coupon rates. So anyways, you had the NASDAQ down more than 2% yesterday. You know, and we're leaning more towards NASDAQ this year, obviously, than the Dow. The Dow didn't fare as badly as the NASDAQ yesterday. But then again, look at where we're at year to date. The NASDAQ has far outrun the Dow. And I don't think it's time to sell your growth stocks and move into dividend payers. I think it's good to have a mix. We have quite a few dividend payers. You know, lower PE stocks, especially obviously in our dividend and growth portfolio. But in the growth portfolios, you know where the growth is, and this is still a favorable Fed environment. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because you also had hotter than expected. Now, those are the unofficial. That's the private payroll that came in yesterday.
Yeah, the ADP yesterday. To me, the most important part of that was actually wage growth, went down. So the one thing the ADP does know is, you know, what people are getting paid, right, because they're cutting those checks in terms of processing them. So, you know, wage growth actually was down a bit more than expected. So where ADP has gotten it wrong, you know, it's been very not the most reliable indicator, you know, since COVID, really. So we'll get the non-farms tomorrow. The weekly payrolls came in only, I think, 2,000 more than expected, or 2,000 less than expected.
Right.
So that number really came in as it should. But productivity was up finally, so we're finally getting some. We're finally paying folks more and getting more productivity. So that's
I think it's fair to say if we get a big giant jobs report tomorrow, you're going to see another sell-off in the bond market on worries that now the Fed will hike. If you're looking for good news today, AMD should have closed up yesterday, but it picked the wrong day to announce earnings. And I see AMD is up almost 3% today. So that's good news. That's signs of some stabilization here after yesterday's. You know, the market says it was blindsided, and it acted like it was. We also get some very important, this is probably the two last big reports of this earnings season, but they're big ones. Amazon, I'm going to guess, I've watched the online retailers report, and they've all come in much better than expected. Wayfair, Mercado Libre, which is the Amazon of South America, came in much better than expected. I would expect a decent report from Amazon today. You never know. You know, a lot of it is they're still their AWS, which has nothing to do really with the consumer and sales.
Yeah, with what we think of as Amazon, right? Exactly.
Right.
And with Amazon Web Services, and then of course Apple at the end of the day as well. So you've got between Apple and Amazon 10% of the S&P 500 reporting.
Yeah.
With
that's
Apple,
amazing.
Yeah,
those two
Apple's
companies.
Weight. Yeah, I was looking at it. Apple's weight is 7.5%.
The biggest company
the
in the world. Right. From Steve Jobs' garage to the biggest company in the world. Okay, so Amazon's expecting 34 cents. Write that on down, on put that on your refrigerator when they report 34 cents in earnings times how many shares they have. And their earnings or their sales, they're expecting $131 billion in one quarter. Man, we order a lot of stuff. That's a half a trillion dollars a year in sales. So $131.34. Apple, on the other hand, is looking to make $1.19 and sales of $81 billion. Now, their sales are a lot less than Amazon, but they have a much bigger profit, and that's the bigger determinant in value is your bottom line profit, not so much your sales. So they'll report. Then we also get reports from Square, Airbnb, Booking Holdings, DraftKings, Coinbase, Expedia, Amgen, etc. And we've also had a few this morning. Okay, when we come back, I want to go over Jamie Dimon's comments after yesterday's surprise downgrade of U.S. debt. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has deteriorated maybe just a little, not much. The Dow is down 72. The Nasdaq is down 54 right now. The big bugaboo for the stock market today is the bond market. And it started to settle down a little bit. The 10-year hit 4.18. Just when I said go buy bonds, it started to come back a little bit. You're at 4.16. You're down 2 basis points since that high of about 30 minutes ago. We're now highest. At 4.17.
On the 10-year. Highest since I was going back on the looking at the 1-year chart of the 10-year highest since basically the first days of November.
Wow,
man, so,
that's pretty big deal. And it's not that the Fed. I mean, the Fed didn't do it. It's the bond market. That's what sets interest rates at the end of the day. Yes, the Fed does set the tone, but the
just
market.
The short. Yeah, and they only set the, you know, the Fed only sets the short-term rate. The market largely, right, is setting those, you know, those long-term rates. Of course, if the Fed has a big balance sheet and needs to sell into some of those pieces, they can control it a little bit, but it's not like they're, you know, it's not like in Japan where they had, you know, essentially yield curve control where they're you know, selling all across, they're controlling the rates all across the curve, but you know, I was thinking it's kind of, isn't this kind of doing the Fed's job a little bit? I mean,
yeah.
On its own without,
you know. Think they wouldn't have to hike rates.
Right.
Now, these central banks seem to be in sync with one another. The Bank of England, interestingly, they rose by a quarter a point. So now that's the third in a row. First it was the, you know, the EU, and then it was the U.S., and then it was now the Bank of England raises by a quarter of a point. They all seem to kind of be, it's more of a global financial system these days than before. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon says Fitch U.S. ratings downgrades is ridiculous. He said it doesn't really matter that much. The markets decide. It's not the rating agency that makes these big decisions. So he's right. I mean, the market, this is what we were just saying, the market end at the end of the day determines what's the right amount for a country to pay based
right.
on their risk.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with Fitch. Dimon highlighted that there are several countries that are higher rated than the U.S.
Well, I named Germany yesterday. I mean,
yeah.
Think about energy independence, right? I mean, we're more energy independent than they are, and proximity-wise, right?
And he makes the point that these countries that have a higher rating than the U.S. live under the American enterprise military system, okay? So, believe it or not, that's also a big determinant of who has the strongest currency and who has the strongest, you know,
military.
The best,
no,
is who has the best military, the strongest military. He says to have those other countries to be rated AAA and not America is kind of ridiculous. It almost, I don't know what prompted them to do it. It almost seems like maybe it was a political thing of some sort. He said the U.S. has the best economy the world has ever seen, the most innovation, the credit is sound, it should be the highest rated credit in the world. He also thinks that the debt ceiling should be eliminated. Well, that's Jamie Dimon. He says it was hugely disappointing that they did that. He says at the end of the day, it's going to make it much harder to make small mortgage and mortgages to lower FICO person. So if you have a lower credit rating, you're the one that's going to get hurt by that. So, yeah, okay, I agree with Jamie Dimon. Initial jobless claims come in, they rose a little bit, not much, not enough to really impact anything.
Yeah, the analyst did a good job on that one in terms
they
of
got that
close,
one right.
I think they got it within 2,000 jobs in one way or the other. So it's pretty much came in as expected there. And continuous jobless claims actually ended up a bit higher than tad bit higher than expected. So, at least from that same point, you could say that shows more.
Yeah, usually when summer ends, you get to about Labor Day and you start laying off a lot of the temporary help. You start seeing jobless claims go up. We'll see. Jobs cuts fall to the lowest number in 11 months. Okay, people need their help. They're not laying off. Okay, here's a new one now. Give Meta some words, and it'll put it to music. Maybe we should come up with a little jingle, to start the show with. Meta Platforms introduced its open-source AI tool called AudioCraft, which enables users to generate audio and music from text. Okay, you don't need Jackson Browne anymore. You don't need McCartney and Lennon anymore. You don't need Bob Dylan anymore. You just need Meta with their AutoCraft AI tool. So let's see. We come
up
with
a little. Can they tell what my vocal should be, given the way
I'm
I
sure
text or
something?
I'm sure
you can pick a different persona. You can have a guy screaming like a heavy metal guy. I kind of like the little, the little choir singing call 1-8-7-8-2-3, blah, 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 blah. That's kind of what I've always wanted, a little jingle. But I don't know how the SEC would look at that. You always worry about them listening very closely to the bass line or whatever.
Yeah,
anyways.
I'm not a fan of marketing.
No. Attorneys get away with murder, though. I remember the day when law firms could not advertise. And now, if you watch the local news, I can't watch it anymore. There's no way. It's every commercial has you been injured.
Right. You got to fast forward. Right.
And they got a little jingle, usually. You know what to do. Da, da, da. Tesla's China deliveries fell to a 2023 low in July. Let's just see. Tesla obviously sold off yesterday. Any high flyer got its wings clipped a little bit, but it's stabilizing today. It's at 253. Not bad after beginning the year at 102. So I don't see any big worries there. TD Cowen. Okay, they're about 12 weeks later than we are, maybe 8 weeks later than we are when we said that Wingstop, we made it our featured stock.
Yeah, it was Wings Cafe was the one that went out of business. I looked it up. Yeah, the one that ran.
Wild Wing Cafe.
Yeah,
Wild Wing Cafe declared bankruptcy, which was kind of a local
it's
in
out
the
of
Southeast.
I think it's out of Charlotte. Like you said, I think they had at least 36 locations. Half of them are shuttering and maybe the other half are pretty close behind.
But. Well, there's a good case of someone had a good idea. They grew it to about 20 stores, and I think they got up to $100 million in sales. And private equity came along. And, of course, private equity normally borrows money, and that's one of the things that put them into bankruptcy. They had $12 million in debt, $12 million in debt. I read eight figures. And I started doing in my head, seven figures, eight figures, that's a lot. And that's what took them down. You can't build a company or a country on a lot of debt. It's not sustainable. Eventually, things are not going to go well. Okay, we'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We were talking about Wingstop when we went to the break. T.D. Cowen has called it a top small mid-cap stock pick. Okay, we like Wingstop too because it is one of the better growth stories in the market out there right now. Roku slips on Citi downgrade. I'm not a fan of Roku. I was at one time when they were kind of an aggregator of all the streamers, but now it seems like everybody's an aggregator of all the streamers, and they continue to lose money, Roku. They're hoping that their advertising model will help out. Shopify reports earnings. Okay, that's one of the bigger ones that came in after the close. It's down 1%. Okay, Shopify is, some people have called it the next Amazon. I don't think so, but it's an online mall. Okay, instead of going to the big mall with JCPenney and Sears and all that, which are now bankrupt companies, you go to an online mall and people set up shops and you can have a little space on the Shopify mall. Shopify has been a great stock. I mean, we made a ton of money in Shopify.
Yeah, analysts must have nailed that one because rarely would you see it just move 1% in either direction after an earnings announcement. It usually moves in pretty good in one direction or the other after they announce earnings. So.
Now, why is it important to look for great burgeoning growth stories? Shopify was a $1 stock back in 2016, $1, and it got as high as 176. At the height, at the beginning of 2021, which was when stocks like Shopify peaked, and then it went clear from 176 back to 23, and now it's at 61. But one of the very best growth stories over the last 10 years, no question about it, is Shopify. And if stocks follow earnings, obviously the faster they grow, the faster the stock goes. And Shopify did turn profitable back in 2016. They don't make a lot of money. They have a very thin profit margin. They make just a little bit of money off of every transaction. And it's a very expensive nosebleed type stock. P.E. ratio, forward P.E. ratio is 120 right now. But it's one of those rare ultra growth, mega growth type stocks. Okay, now you go to the other side of the coin. I remember when Qualcomm was one of those rare mega growth stocks. It was the pride of San Diego many years ago. I remember when it was under a dollar. That's how long I remember when Qualcomm went public. And it has really stumbled in recent years. Qualcomm's claim to fame is back then they were trying to decide between two different technologies for cell phones. And a CDMA ended up being the winner, and that was Qualcomm. So they got royalties on every single cell phone because it had their technology inside, CDMA. And, I mean, they grew.
Kind of like ARM, which is some in the news. They're really licensing out, right, their technology. That's why Nokia is still alive. I was reading a report about Nokia.
They're barely hanging in there.
They have a lot of intellectual property.
BlackBerry.
So it's pretty interesting.
A lot of these companies, never really did much since then, but you know, Qualcomm's tried all kinds of different things.
Well, have you seen Constellation Energy Corp today?
That's
a classic beat and raise.
Was that
scenario.
Our featured stock last week or the week before?
I think it was in the last couple of weeks. I know that's why it really caught my eye. When I first saw it, I thought it was Constellation Brand. I'm like, no, I don't know. Energy. But, yeah, they're doing great today.
We do not own Qualcomm. Spot. It's getting hammered. It's down 11% today. Robinhood, I mentioned them because I still think that's a dog of a company. They go after traders with very little money.
I think they were down, 7% or so earlier?
7%. Yeah. That's one of Kathy Wood's favorites. That thing got up to 85. Just because they had an online trading platform for a mobile phone, that
it's
was their claim
to fame.
Been
around for years. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They barely make any money. It got up to 85, and now it's 11. I never did like Robinhood. It's getting hit today, smacked around, down 6.8. Cummins Engine, which has been a pretty good stock over the years, not so good today, though. It's down 7.9%.
Yeah, we've owned them. We've owned them in the past, haven't we?
We've owned Cummins in the past, not recently.
Yeah.
Kellogg, the pride of Battle Creek, basically flat. I mean, it's been a flat stock for 27 years. You know, it just goes nowhere, but it is what it is. It fills the cereal aisle. Warren Buffett's big holding, Occidental Petroleum. I'm sure he's buying more today. It's down a little bit, but it's kind of a sideways stock, too. Conoco, COP, a big competitor to them, down a little bit. The oil stocks are a little bit flat, but our stock, which is in our dividend and growth portfolio, I'm going to call that so far the chart of the day. Constellation Energy was our best idea, I think, 2 weeks ago, and we've had some big winners in that. Wingstop has been in there. We've had some big winners in that best idea. What will it be this week? I don't know yet.
Well, and you had the Saudis announced today, I think, that that they're going to extend that voluntary million barrel cut through, I think, September, and then also had some language in there about, you know, basically their willingness to cut more. So
that's why, oil is all of a sudden spiking here today.
Yep.
Then you've got Budweiser reporting today, which is actually a Belgian company, Anheuser-Busch InBev. It's up 1.5%, but it's been a sideways stock forever. And, of course, they had that big stumble. They lost a lot of market share with their Bud Light brand. PayPal stock slides. PayPal's been losing business. I don't know if it's Square and Stripe and others. It's a very competitive business now. PayPal is not
Apple's
the growth stock.
Yeah, Apple's in the business now. I mean, there's a lot of players in that piece. And remember where you used to have the PayPal like symbol when you went to go pay for something online? Now you have, you may have a PayPal symbol, but you've got a Google Pay and Apple Pay.
Everybody.
Affirm, pay us later.
PayPal's down 11.5% today. That's a stinker of a report there. Not a very good day for reports. Now, here's a stellar one. Mercado Libre, which tells me that maybe Amazon's going to have a good report. Mercado Libre, we'll call it the runner-up stock of the day. It's up $115 a share, or almost 10% on five times. I own just a few shares of Mercado Libre in my trading portfolio that I've owned for about a year or so, that stock. It's at $1,280, up 10% today. Well, maybe that could be a little indication of a good report coming from Amazon tonight. I've noticed all of those. I also noticed Wayfair today. Wayfair, there's another very good chart, even better than Mercado Libre. It's up 18%. Now, Wayfair has never made any money, I don't think. Maybe they had a couple of years during COVID when everything was online. But they have a hard time turning a profit.
Yeah, their forward earnings per share is -$3.09.
Ouch. Okay, let's see that what short else interest, we got.
That's a short squeeze of, you know, they've got 30% short interest in that stock. So.
Well, here's another one, APA.
Apache.
Did we own that? Yeah, I'm pretty sure we own that in the dividend and growth portfolio. I just want to make sure because we've owned it often.
We have owned it before.
Yeah, I guess we don't. Wait a minute. AP. Yeah, we bought it. No. Okay, I have it penciled in to possibly buy it.
Yeah.
That's why. And I haven't bought it. APA is up, however, 5.9%. So they changed their name, all right, like. They're not the Washington Redskins anymore. They're the Washington Gardens, and they're not the Cleveland Indians anymore. They're the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah,
what's
Guardians
the Redskins?
And Magic Johnson was talking about changing it. It's Commanders.
The Commanders, yes. Yeah. Okay, so now instead of Apache, it's APA. But I'll always call it Apache just because I've followed the stock. They had a good report, up 6% today. 6%. And let's see, anything else? No, Wayfair. Okay, when we come back, we'll look at the internals of the market. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, by the end of the day tomorrow, I'm going to say 80% or so of the companies have now reported from the S&P 500, with really the last two big players tonight reporting, Apple and Amazon, two of the biggest, the big of the big right there reporting tonight. We'll see what happened. I wouldn't expect anything spectacular from Apple.
10% of the total S&P 500 earnings between those two companies.
It will definitely impact the overall S&P 500 earnings. We had a bad week to begin. Then we had a good week last week. And now this week, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of bad ones today.
Yeah, but, I mean, HubSpot, I mean, a lot of ones we owned had decent reports. They obviously got mixed up in some of this, you know, in all of the hoopla of yesterday. But, you know, AMD had a good report. I think HubSpot had a good report. Constellation with the one today. Handful of others. But
listen, here today, all right, here's some stinkers from today. Goodyear is down 18.3%.
Wow.
Expedia, which a lot of people book their travel through Expedia, down 15.4% today. PayPal, we already mentioned, down 11.7%. Qualcomm, down 10.7%. These are all members of the S&P 500. Etsy, down 10.6%. Cummins Engines down 8.2%, TripAdvisor down 7.9%, MGM down 6.7%. That's kind of disturbing. That's a lot of S&P 500 companies not having. In fact, those are some big misses and some big sell-offs. And on the upside, Clorox up 10.3%, APA up 5.7%, AMD up 4.2%. Netflix up 2, Hess up 2. But to me, that's kind of disturbing to see those almost 10 double-digit losers there. I got to believe that that's going to take a little bit out. I think we're going to see a lower number for this quarter. I could be wrong. A lot of it depends on the weighting of these stocks, right?
Right. Yeah.
You could have a company with a big miss, but it's like 1% of the S&P 500 or smaller, whereas you've got Apple and Amazon, which are big, big. Those are going to be really important. Maybe those two companies can save the week, but I don't like what I see today here from these companies. Okay, the Dow, you know, DuPont, Exxon up a little. It's still the higher PE stocks that are under a little bit of pressure today, but definitely things are stabilizing. I think the bond market, there's where the volatility is. The bond market's bouncing all over the place right now, with it back up around 4.18%. The NASDAQ, the big winner, is Mercado Libre, a South America country, a company, up 10.2% today. Which gives me hope for a good report from Amazon. Amazon's been a little soft here recently. They're a little bit unpredictable. Amazon is basically flat right now. I'm expecting a good report tonight from Amazon. Apple, I would not expect much in the way of excitement coming from Apple. And then the biggest winner of all today, Upwork. That's a company that, you know, freelancers sign up.
Owned them in the past.
Yeah, we owned them way back when, especially, you know, when they had during their heyday COVID was time. During COVID.
Right.
When everybody went, you know, independent and you could hire people online.
Like, it was like Etsy for coders, basically.
Yes.
Right.
Right. And I, you know, I've tried it a few times with mixed results. And but that's the big winner. It's up 30%. There was probably a lot of short interest that's being covered today. It has that look to it. So that's it. Okay, we kind of got blindsided yesterday, and the market's got to settle down. It's like shaking up a glass of water or the snowflake thing at Christmas time, and pretty soon those flakes settle and we get back to normal. I don't see it as being a big detriment to the future of the bull market. It's going to be more about earnings, and that's why we're watching these earnings reports so closely. What will be the featured stock of the week this week? Oh, I've got a few in mind, but I narrow it down as I go. You know, I look at 1,000 stocks a day. To pick one out of all of that, you know, it's actually quite easy by the end of the week. There's always one or two that really stick out to me. And, of course, our featured stock, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. Man, that thing's up 6.8% right now. Constellation Energy, which was a spinoff from one of the utilities. I think Con Edison, I think. They provide power, natural gas, renewable energy. They're kind of an energy broker is what they are, okay, selling energy to different utilities.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. So it was July 22nd edition.
Okay. So, yeah. What was my featured stock the 29th? I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying to think back. The 29th, I can't remember right now offhand, but we'll have a new one this week. If you don't read anything else in the newsletter, that's right on page one of the newsletter. And check out how our portfolios have done this year. Holy cow, the Ultra Growth and the Premier Growth have really sizzled here in 2023.
Another resource company. It was EOG. That's why you couldn't.
Okay.
That's why you were.
I got stuck with AP. And EOG is up today, 1.4%. That's another good one. Maybe this week it will be APA. We'll see. But anyways, you can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter along with our new fresh S&P 500 target. We're not going to be using a multiple of 22.5 like Oppenheimer did. They did that the day before the Fitch downgrade. And, man, they got to be rethinking their 22.5 multiple in the S&P 500. Last time we saw that was way back when Kathy Wood's ARK funds were hitting new highs.
And we're at 419 on a 10-year right now. Like I said, I haven't seen it since November.
It's volatile.
Yep.
And if you'd like to talk to us, we talk to a lot of folks from all over the country. On a weekly basis, on a daily basis. If you'd like to set up an appointment, give us a call. Edie's the appointment setter. Be nice to Edie, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody. We'll be right back.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.